flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Trillville Thursday, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. We'll get back into all the news and notes from around the league and really start diving into the game. Like the football game that's going to be played on Sunday evening between the Chiefs and the Eagles. Super Bowl, what is it, 59? Is it Super Bowl 59?
Yeah, buddy.
Wow, that's a lot of Super Bowls. So we'll get to that in about 20 minutes from right now. We'll get back into some of the stuff that's also going on in New Orleans as well, including, you know, our quarterback being interviewed by one of our favorite guys. This hour is brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast at padlybuys.com.
And D-Led's down there being TMZ.
Yeah, D-Led's down there. You know what? D-Led's down there just trying to report the news, as he always does.
Oh, man.
He's stalking Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, man, that's pretty funny.
Taking pictures of him from afar.
Yeah. There he is, y'all.
He needs one of those zoom lenses. He's doing it on his phone, trying to zoom in with his fingertips.
There
you know?
He is.
He found him a couple times, though. Yeah. Tried to interview him. I guess Kirk's done talking.
Yeah, might as well be.
I guess Kirk's done the talking that he's going to do.
And we're done, too.
Isn't it funny? That the thing that, we made fun of Kirk for all year, like being too honest, like he's now kind of mad at him because he lied. You know?
There's a big difference between the honest part that we were talking about and the part he lied about.
I know, it's just kind of ironic that like the guy who the whole joke all year was he just can't shut his mouth and keep a secret.
Yeah.
And it turns out maybe he did just shut his mouth and keep a secret and screwed over the whole team.
Yeah, I'm glad.
The irony is not lost on me.
You know something? It never is, though.
No, it's not.
It never is. But, well, I mean, you know, I'm not the biggest, the guy who we brought to play, I'm not the biggest, and this has been a long time. I've never liked this guy.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, respect to the niche that he's found himself in the NFL world. But, yeah, Mike Florio is not exactly like the number one guy between us on this show. We're not huge fans of his.
No.
So we play this with that in mind because he sounds like a dork, and he is one. Here he is interviewing Michael Penix at the Super Bowl yesterday.
Let's fast forward just a couple of months. The draft is here. It's round one. The Falcons are on the clock. Is any part of you going to think, I wonder if they're going to take a quarterback here like they did last year?
Oh, man, I don't think so.
Seriously. So. What would you tell that? We call him Dr. Doom sometimes.
Do you envision
them giving up on you after three games? There, look at him.
A joke. Comedy is hard, number one. Number two, the delivery was clunky. The point is, it's just odd to think you're sitting there watching the draft and boom. Let me ask you this. What would be at the top of your wish list for things to add to help you get better?
No comment. Whoever can help this team win football games, you know, that's who
a quarterback
want.
Then.
Obviously,
I'm kidding.
You know, it's people that do that job, you know, in the organization and that make those big time picks for our future. And you know, this team, we're gonna trust those picks.
He's a rookie. He just became a starter. He's not gonna talk about like, oh, I want this position, because he's got friends at that position, and they're gonna be like, hey, dude, I thought we just became friends. You're trying to draft somebody and replace me already? So he doesn't want to do that.
I want the best player in the draft whenever we get that pickup.
An absolute great freaking answer.
Well done, Mike.
And who is the guy, not the Florio dork, but the other guy?
Chris Sims.
Yeah, you know how I feel about that joke.
Yeah, it's just a great duo.
But he was right what he said. And the reason I say this, because organizations, they cringe when their players are on Radio Row because they're going to say something like Josh Jacobs said. We need a true number one receiver here.
Right. Like any real answer from an active player about his own team is not helpful for the own team.
They cringe.
Yeah.
They're like, I didn't get in trouble. But I was like, I didn't say anything wrong, but he didn't want me to say what I said.
You said something that Saban didn't want you to say
All I said was, yeah, I just met my new tight end coach before I came up here, Derek Dooley, and he's nice. I can't wait to work with him. That's all I said.
But it just hadn't been announced yet?
Yeah, it hadn't been announced yet. And so Nick was like, yeah, I was like, oh, my bad. Damn, I didn't think it was that big a deal.
Yeah, sorry. Announce it.
Announce the damn thing.
What do you think? We just gave away the nuclear codes because Derek Dooley, no offense to Derek Dooley, but he's our tight end coach.
They cringe. And then you got, like, you don't, when you're an active player and there are other guys on the team, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. We need a true number one receiver. Like, you know what I mean? Just chill.
You know what you don't do as a media guy? And I learned this one the hard way. You don't assume that people you don't know are going to get your jokes.
Right.
Because I guess it was one. Penix didn't get it.
No joke.
And then it was just awkward.
Yeah, it was awkward. Mike.
I hope the interview got better from there because that was a tough 70 seconds of radio.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, just a great answer by him. No comment. It doesn't make no sense for you, sir. Well, you know what I would like? I think we should upgrade the offensive line. Or better yet, we need a pass rusher. I think, in the draft, we need a pass rusher. Even though that's true.
Yeah.
You don't. And he
There's no reason to say it.
And he knows it's true. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to say that because always there's going to be an Andy Bunker or somebody else that's going to be up there flyer. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Or Mark Zeno or Joe Patrick or somebody like that that's going to take that.
Esteemed media members you're listing here.
And then you're going to go up there and say, well, at the Super Bowl, Mike.
Yeah, right.
You said you were looking for a pass rusher. And the safety, for instance, they don't draft a pass rusher right there. You know
what I mean? Are you mad?
Now this dude, Florio guy, now the Falcons take a quarterback like in the seventh round or take a swing.
Yeah.
He'll make a story out of that.
See? Called it.
Yep. He'll make a story out of that.
As I predicted in February.
Yeah, he'll make a story about that.
But they're going to need one. Right? Falcons are going to need a backup quarterback because the guy who's been the starter, was the starter at the beginning of the year last year, isn't going to be here next year.
Correct.
We know that.
Yeah.
Clock's just ticking on that one.
Yeah.
Penix is going to be the starter, and they're going to have to find someone to be the backup. Yeah. I don't know.
Go get your veteran.
Yeah, they'll go find him.
Go find your veteran.
Yeah, go find some sort of veteran quarterback to back up Penix. Nice to have an older guy that's
He can bounce stuff off.
But
I anticipate them going to sign it back. You don't want to have a young quarterback backed up by another young damn quarterback. I think the thing with Mike is, you know, he's going in unquestioned, rightfully so. He's going to get everything from the first day of OTAs, mini camp, training camp. He's going to get between whenever they start, you know, the quarterback, so the offseason conditioning, whenever they start that, he's going to be the guy. He's going to get all the reps. He's going to have thousands of reps before the first start of whoever they play going this fall. And he can only grow from that.
Not only that, like, yes, all of that is true. There's, whatever they do behind him is also not going to be any sort of threat to his job whatsoever.
No.
Whereas last year, when they did what they did, even though I think we all kind of thought the plan was for Cousins to be the quarterback for a couple of years, they drafted a quarterback in the top 10 right behind him.
Right.
So, and again, like, don't hear this as me trying to justify anything that Kirk Cousins did if what it seems like he did is what actually happened. Again, maybe we'll get all the truth at some point, probably not, because you don't tend to get all the truth in situations like this. But when they drafted Penix and didn't tell him they were going to do it until they were doing it, I think that set off that relationship on a foot of distrust.
Yes.
Like, and again, not to say that that means that he should then not tell them about his injury in the middle of the season.
Right.
But like, who planted the seed of distrust between the Falcons and Kirk Cousins?
The organization.
Falcons did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Falcons did on draft night.
Right.
When they took Michael Penix and didn't tell him about it until the end. Now, grow up, get over it, play better, whatever. Don't lie if you're hurt and you know, suck it up. Honestly, here's another alternate timeline that would have benefited Kirk had he done it the way that I think a lot of people would have. If he's just honest about how bad that hit was against New Orleans and they can't play him the next week because it hurts so bad, whatever, they x-ray him, whatever it is, and they're like, oh man, there's like a minor thing in there. We got to sit you down. And Penix comes in and plays good, and he doesn't play anymore. he's probably has a better market this offseason than he does right now.
I would
because he would have been 6-4,
yep.
And he only would have played one bad game, and it really was only one bad game in the game that he got hurt in. Like, if he would have just done what most people do, which, or if they would have gotten it right, or whatever. Like, if the lines of communication would have been there the way that you would have wanted them to be between the quarterback and the organization,
right?
He probably, they might even be able to trade him.
No.
You might. Mm-mm. He's 6-4 and he played the way he did, and nobody saw the crap that he did at the end of the season.
Nobody's trading for that contract.
That's okay.
Nobody's trading for his contract.
Fair enough. And that's probably the be all end all in the conversation.
Yeah,
but he would have more teams interested in him than he does now.
And he still might. That's the thing about it.
Had he not played those games.
But the thing about it is,
like, he would have actually benefited from not playing in those games.
This is a quarterback-driven league, and there's not enough good ones. Now, I don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be when he comes back from his injury or whatever, but I know somebody's out there, and somebody's going to give him a shot. And if you look at where the perfect scenario for him is Cleveland because of Stefanski, the system that he played in and all those different things. Now, we thought that system was going to be here, but they didn't do it. They didn't play to the strengths of what he did. So they're part to blame for some of it also. Yeah, he's hurt, but yet y'all didn't do what he does best. And so, I mean, it's all a big old cluster, you know what, that is pretty much by the end of this month, early next month, is going to be over. I mean, the dead stuff, the bad stuff is still going to be there, but he just won't be here. Because no matter what's going to happen as far as, no, when they cut him, the cap hit and all that, that's still going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, him doing what he did don't affect nothing going forward as far as contracts, the money, the dead cap. You can't write a petition to Roger. Well, we feel like he lied to us, so can we only have to pay a certain amount?
Right.
Don't work like that.
All that's right. Like, the guy that did the thing that most people are mad about is going to be gone.
Yes.
Right? So the main source of the frustration in this conversation is gone, and you have a guy that's going to replace him that you like. The money is still going to be a problem for a little while. Yep. Like, there's going to be dead cap. But the problem is that, like, you know, if you go back again, like we were saying, from the beginning of it all the way through to now, and just sort of like how it's being handled, it's like, all right, so Kirk's gone, but, like, it's, you know, it's still took two to tango.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like the people that allowed that to take place are still in charge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, I can't just, like, pack up all the blame and problems and issues and everything that went wrong into a package, give it to Kirk, tell him he's out of town, and then we're like, everything's great.
That's
now.
What they're trying to
can't
do.
Of course.
That's what they're
trying. Of course.
To.
And that's, I understand.
Yeah.
And that's what they should be trying to do. But, like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I still got to be like, all right, so now who are the people that notice injuries? Like, who are the people whose job it is to analyze quarterback play?
Yep.
Because that guy very clearly looked like trash. And it turned out he was hurt, and that's why he looked like trash. And those eyes are still up
there. Or he could have just been trash.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe he was.
Or maybe he was trying to save face. Yeah, or maybe he was just trash, and he's trying to figure out a way to make people feel like he wasn't trash.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to save face.
Maybe just trash.
Could be.
It could be. It's everything's always a possibility. I've never seen that fall off like that. But, hey, this is the first time. I never seen a 25-year-old damn superstar player, basketball player get dealt before.
Yeah.
And then ask for it.
That's the thing about, that's a great sort of tie-in.
Everything is new nowadays.
No, but here's the thing. Everything is human, right? Like, we're in this era of everything being so data-driven and analytics-driven and the attempt to perfect, right? Either from a spreadsheet or from a play calling standpoint or whatever. But at the end of the day, everything is just decided on by human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And human beings, I'll say it nicely, like, make mistakes.
They do.
Right?
They do.
Some of them are really dumb.
And some of them are really bad.
Some of them have jobs that they're not good at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, we keep being surprised by this stuff. It's like, no.
Stop being surprised.
People do dumb stuff all the time.
Yeah. Stop being surprised.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah,
you just got to hope the humans that are in the jobs for the teams that we root for are good at those jobs.
Yeah, but, I mean, we got so much time to talk ball. You still got combine, you still got drafts, you still got workouts, you got off-season condition, all that other stuff, man. But, I mean, just the fact that Michael is mature enough not to go down a rabbit hole with a dork, it's just, like, perfect. It was just a perfect answer by
you. You got nothing to worry about as far as Michael Penix and that kind of stuff. Like, is he going to be a great quarterback? I don't know. I hope so.
Right.
I hope so. But there's not going to be any, like, he's not going to say anything in an interview that he's not supposed to say.
Did he have the do-rag on?
Probably.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
Bijan told a story earlier in the week about how he wore his do-rag in the sauna.
What's so big deal about that?
I don't know.
Because
you take everything else off in the sauna, pretty much. Towel.
Have you ever been in the NFL sauna?
Yeah, bunch.
We don't be in there butt naked.
No, but like your towel, right?
Oh, I was like, yeah, we don't be in there. We don't be in there butt naked. Like, we don't be in hot tubs and cold tubs and saunas and steam rooms naked. Well, there was one instance that we kicked like dog. Go put some grays on.
Right? Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, go put it. Yeah, very rarely do you see.
I know, but like a towel, right? What do you got on?
A lot of times you have shorts on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess it's.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times you have shorts on.
Oh, I thought it was a funny anecdote.
Yeah, a lot of times you have shorts on.
So he probably had the do-rag on.
I've only seen him without it 3 times.
Heisman ceremony.
Heisman, draft.
Okay.
And then the picture he took when he proposed to his girl.
Okay.
That's the only 3 times I've ever seen him.
Yeah, so yeah. My guess is he probably had the do-rag on in the interview with Mike Florio.
But my thing is the do-rag is just out in public. Like, you don't wear a hat over it, like the old 50, who is, by the way, the most diabolical, just, I don't know what we'd call that dude no more, man. 50 on a different level. Don't ever cross him.
What did he do?
We'll talk about it.
Oh.
Yeah, don't ever cross that guy. Don't ever cross that dude. That dude is just, I feel bad for people who are enemies.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, we just had do-rag because they just had Michael Parsons on TV. He had a pink-ass do-rag on. So I was just like, oh, okay. You just wear do-rags now.
I mean.
All right.
Why not?
You got to keep the waves tight.
You got to. Yeah. You got to keep them wavy. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL tight. No huddle. Get back into everything that's going on in New Orleans. Look forward to the Super Bowl. Start talking about the game. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.